make sure everybody that you check out dnainfo.com and you can sign up, you know, especially if there's a particular neighborhood area you're interested in, even if you live in Schaumburg now or somewhere else, someplace you lived when you were younger, or your kids are living now, or whatever your interests are. There's all sorts of different newsletters. You can get the news emailed right to you, even if you're not going on the website every day, right?
It's great. Yeah. If you only care about, say, Lincoln Square, you used to live there as a kid, or you like the restaurants of the West Loop, you can subscribe just to that neighborhood, get that newsletter. We got an app out. We'll do the same where you get a push alert and restaurant opens, closes. We'll push it out to your lock screen of your phone. There's any number of ways.
Yeah, so you can stay in touch. DNAinfo.com. Seamus is the managing editor. So let's do a little year in review here as 2016 comes to a close. Of course, we're trying to figure it out off the air. The biggest story, Chicago-centric story of the year, of course, the crime rate and the shootings and everything. Of course, that's one of them. But I think that's been happening over the years for a while now. So that's not new news. That's continuing sad news. But the Cubs winning the World Series is something we haven't reported on in 108 years. So that's got to take the cake, right?
I think it has to. I mean, there was the build up to it all season when could this be the year? Oh, did Sports Illustrated just jinx us for the fourth time this year? And when it finally happened, we were talking about it off the air where, you know, took several weeks for us to even, for me to even realize that it happened because I was so nervous that they were going to screw it up. So, yeah, just huge, huge all around. Our traffic numbers for people just wanting to know when the rally was.
Yeah.
It's outpaced almost every other story we did. You know, what's the route? When does the rally begin? How do I get inside? That sort of thing. So just pent up demand for Cubs success.
And the story at the time was that rally was, what, the seventh largest gathering of humans in recorded history. I don't know. I was waiting for a follow-up on that, but did that seem to stick? Did we ever hear a, no, it wasn't. It wasn't as many people as they were saying. We tend to overestimate these things sometimes.
I think there was at least in the media world, there was a collective scoff at that number. I mean, it's, you know, that is 5 million. It would be roughly, you know, everyone in Chicago brought someone from the suburbs with them.
Right.
I mean, that would, you know, every man, woman, child in Chicago twice.
Right.
It was incredible, though. I went down there for it, and I've never seen a mass of humanity like that for, you know, back when they used to do the fireworks down at Navy Pier on the 3rd. I mean, that was always insane. That was about a million people. And the
But at least that was spread out along a pretty wide swath of area. This was all in Grant Park and kind of one area, and the parade route. This was
insane. I tried to get as far as I could, and I could not get very far. But,
yeah.
5 million, sure.
Cubs won the World Series. Anything can happen. 5 billion people might have shown up. Who knows?
Exactly. They pulled that number out of somewhere.
Yeah.
We were gonna check satellite photos and get experts, and then it quickly got debunked anecdotally. So we never got around to that. But that's the number that's gonna stick.
The Sox fans still want to look into that, though, Seamus.
Yeah, I'm sure they scoffed.
They probably did. Okay, but along with the Cubs winning, Wrigleyville was one of the hottest areas because they're not only redeveloping Wrigley Field pretty constantly, but developing a lot of the area right around Wrigley Field. The whole Lakeview-Wrigleyville area is really just increasing in size and stature and establishment. And the way they handled that as the Cubs won those games, but also all the new facilities that are opening and the battles the Cubs are fighting with some of that with their plaza and whether or not they can sell beer and sell tickets and what they can and can't do was also a pretty popular story throughout the year for our Ariel Chung.
Absolutely. And I tell people, if you haven't been to Wrigleyville in the last couple of years, when you show up next year, you will not recognize anything other than Wrigley Field. I mean, that's about the only constant so far, at least in that area. They tore down, if you remember, the McDonald's across the street.
Sure.
Did
some very nice, sad stories of people with their reminiscences about that McDonald's, which was not, you know, it wasn't the greatest looking McDonald's in the world. It really hadn't been updated in quite some time. And you think about the people that are showing up there at either 4 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night after a game. It's getting its use in a rough manner.
Right. Most of the people who were mourning the loss of that McDonald's talked about using the washrooms there. So it wasn't the nicest place in the world. And then the whole stretch that I called like the 7-Eleven block, because I would always meet people I'll meet you at the 7-Eleven.
Right.
That all got knocked down. And with the exception of, and I love it, there's like a t-shirt shop and a body shop that they couldn't buy out. So they're building this enormous building all around those two buildings. And this would be on Addison between Clark and Sheffield. But it's going to have a little bit of everything in there. They just announced a bowling alley is going in there.
Yeah.
There's going to be a Cineplex, something called Cinemex Theaters. It's going to be nuts. And with plus, you know, 150, you know, high-end condos. If you want to live right next to the ballpark, that's the place.
Which is really interesting that they're putting in, you know, a bowling alley and a movie theater complex, because right, you know, up until a couple of years ago, everything around the park was bars and restaurants to feed off the ballpark. But it sounds like they're trying to redevelop it into more of a year-round experience, especially with the plaza the Cubs are building. So the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlante is here on 720 WGN. Matt Bubala sitting in today till 6:30 tonight when we get Blackhawks pregame. They're at the Predators tonight. We've got Veronica Carter in the newsroom. Violetta Prodromedic is checking traffic. And Kevin Powell's got sports in studio with us right now. Seamus Toomey. He's the managing editor over at dnainfo.com. So we're talking a lot about Wrigley, as we were saying off air. We could talk about Wrigley the whole hour because there's so much going on there. But so much else has been going on in Chicago's neighborhoods this year. One of the other really big stories, I think, Seamus, was President Obama's library will be located here in Chicago, and they finally chose where that's going to be, how that's going to work. What's the latest with the library?
Well, the latest with the library is it came out earlier this week that Tiger Woods is going to redesign the golf courses down there, which is pretty cool. They're going to, it sounds like the plan is they want to merge the two libraries. I mean, the two golf courses, the Jackson Park and the South Shore, and to try to make it into a championship course.
Are they right next to each other? Is that feasible?
Yeah, it's feasible. It wouldn't actually be one. It would be one's an 18 now and one's a 9.
The Jackson Park's a 9, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they would make one of them a little bit bigger and one of them a little smaller. They'd still have a 9-hole course, but they got to get it up to championship standards because they want to lure. They lure big tournaments there,
yeah.
and that's the goal. And they're trying to get a couple holes ready by next year to show off to the PGA and say, hey, look at our great place.
But yeah,
let's be honest. You know, if it's on the grounds of the Obama Library, they're going to get a good look for a major tournament. You know, for years to come.
What does that mean for the development of that area down there? Because south of the Museum of Science and Industry, you know, Science and Industry and University of Chicago, we've got a pretty high-end area, and then we go a little bit south in the Woodlawn area, and it gets rough really quick. I went to school at Mount Carmel, which is right there, and that's, you know, the whole Stony Island area is sort of been up and coming over the years and then not quite broken through and gotten a lot better. What's the development hopes if we get the library there, we get this championship golf course? I imagine that that's going to spur a lot of development along that whole corridor.
That's the expectation. In fact, that was the big news of the year. It was not that it was coming. They actually announced it last year that it was going to come to Chicago. But what was up in the air was, is it going to be Jackson Park, or, you know, right on the water there, right behind the Museum of Science and Industry?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it going to be Washington Park, which is inland a little bit? And frankly, that's where everyone was expecting it because people have been buying up all the land or on the outskirts of it, and there's a lot more land to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And the University of Chicago owns a lot of the property. They're the partner on it. So we were pretty much expecting it was going to be Washington Park, and it was going to be a big boon for that neighborhood. Well, turns out they wanted the lakefront after all, and now, you know, think about it, of course they did.
Yeah.
So it sort of shifts the focus of, okay, now where is the money going to go? Is it going to go up and down Stony? Is it going to go, how far to the west is it going to go into Hyde Park? It's interesting. It was an about face, at least for the expectations, but they're still, you know, the goal is to get the place up and running by about probably 2021. You know, maybe even a little bit earlier than that.
And
so we'll see. I mean, the fight to start buying up the adjoining properties is going to be pretty fierce.
Yeah, I would imagine. And how does that work with the library? A lot of private funds being solicited for that, or is there a certain amount of government money set aside for a presidential library every time that comes up?
The way it's they're working it through, they're setting up an Obama Foundation, and it's going to be funded through that.
Okay.
And we're just getting private donations, you know, they're going to need a lot of them.
And this spurs me into one of the other stories I thought was a big story this year, was the city not getting the Lucas Museum, and Friends of the Park had a big role in that. Now, down here in Jackson Park, that's not protected area. There's not a fight there because, or is there?
There is. I mean, it has the same sort of restrictions or problems that come with it as the Lucas Museum did. But the Friends of the Park, which is the advocacy group that really fought and won that Lucas Museum battle, mm-hmm. they looked at this and they basically said, we're okay with it for this. And, you know, factor in it's not the downtown lakefront. It's not wedging it in between Soldier Field and McCormick Place, which they don't, they've never liked.
Right.
They didn't like the Soldier Field being renovated. So this one was more of like, okay, to me, it felt like we won this one. You guys can have that one. Plus, it's a little bit different. You know, this is the first black president, the Chicagoans library in Jackson Park that could really renovate that area.
Yeah.
As opposed to George Lucas, strange looking Star Wars museum, you know, being wedged in, you know, right next to Soldier Field.
Right. Even though that would, it's funny because that whole argument, I mean, there would have been more space in essence, I think, when the final renderings were out. They could have created more parkland space by adding that museum there. And I know they want to stick to their guns and fight. There's not supposed to be any development, but here they're allowing it for a presidential library, which makes sense because they're going to look very bad driving the presidential library off to Hawaii and us not having it here in Chicago. I think there's a lot of different battles they have to fight when they choose which thing they're going to try to oppose and which thing they're going to let go.
When you look at the old photos of Soldier Field before the renovation, it's pretty amazing. It was just surrounded by concrete, and you know, Lakeshore Drive was to the east of it. Mm-hmm. You look at it now, it's beautiful. And so they really did add the parkland. They put all the parking underneath it. And they were going to do the same thing with the Lucas Museum, where they were going to take out some of those parking lots, put some of the stuff underground, and then cover it with green space.
Yeah.
It would have been striking. The tailgaters were opposed to it because you can't, you know, tailgate
some space,
underground garage. They've tried it. It doesn't work very well.
And I wonder, did we hear a lot from the museums, from the Field Museum, from the Shedd Aquarium, from the Adler Planetarium, because that would have been a good driver of people to the museum campus that could have helped them out. I mean, we've read about the Field Museum struggling, and all of the museums have their issues. More people coming means more money for them. Were they upset with Friends of the Park?
Yeah, you know, I think it was, you know, frankly, I think they sort of stayed on the sidelines a little bit. But, yeah, it's a blow to that, to the whole museum campus, if you think of it as a museum campus helping that. I mean, you're right. People would have swarmed to that museum for years and years. And it would have been an international draw. You know, the Shedd Aquarium's great, but I don't think people are flying here to see our aquarium necessarily.
Yeah.
But for the Lucas Museum, that would have brought people from all over the world. But it was always, questionable at best about why he wanted it Chicago, other than his wife, Melody Hobson, is from here. And they could get a pretty good deal from the city to put it there on a great spot. There's so much about Star Wars that is San Francisco based that, you know, if it ends up back there, which it sure looks like it will, to me, it makes a whole lot more sense than in Chicago, but I will miss it.
It does. But the interesting thing is that deal is still not signed in San Francisco either, is it?
No.
So there's still, I know they're not talking about it, but I would think there's still a chance that this thing ends up in Chicago.
I'd be very surprised, but I think that was the spot they wanted.
Yeah.
They don't want to go east of they don't want to go west of Lakeshore Drive, which was being offered. They don't want to go to Michael Reese. They wanted that spot. It's a beautiful spot. You're right next to the harbor there as well. So if I was a betting man, which I'm not, I would say it'll be back in San Francisco where Star Wars all started.
And with only a minute or two we have left, let's talk about Rahm's year in review. And that's one of the things. Rahm lost out on that, on the Lucas Museum. He was very upset about that. Has he completely given up on that as far as we know, that he's not trying to woo him back? He's certainly not talking about it publicly if he is. But to Rahm, the Lucas Museum is dead and gone.
You know, I would never write off, a behind the scenes maneuvering to try to win that one back, because that's a, that's a black eye, it's a mark on his record that he got it and lost it. Basically, to the Friends of the Park at that, it wasn't even, it was a grassroots effort to knock it down, and he lost. But, that was, one of the many bad things that that happened on Rahm's watch this year in terms of the political realities.
How do we look at 2016 for Rahm? You had the fallout still going on. The video was released in 2015, but we still had fallout from Laquan McDonald, body cams and firing of Gary McCarthy, things like that. We've got the teachers union almost went on strike. We worked out something at the end, but now Rahm's having issues with Governor Rauner and where all this money's going to come from. What's his outlook for the year? Was that a bounce back year, or because the previous year was so bad that it got better, or is he still having a rough time?
I think a bounce back is probably overstated a little bit, but it's maybe he's grabbing the bottom rung, bottom rope so far and pulling himself up. He was down so far, last November, that they were talking about, you know, would he resign?
Yeah.
It seemed highly unlikely, but now.
But people were pushing for it. We don't hear people pushing for it.
We don't push him. Yeah. And now it's all talk about, you know, gearing up for the next election, which is, you know, I would say a comeback where he's trying very hard to reengage us, particularly with the police department, with efforts, the body cam announcement that they're going to go citywide by the end of next year. Hiring more cops. I mean, the police department is depleted through attrition, mostly retirements, but they've got a lot of hiring to make up for it, to cover some of these beats. And it's not just perception. I mean, they have problems out there with community relations and police involved shootings and all that. And you know, he got rid of the organization that investigates those and revamped it.
Right.
The jury's still out of, you know, how much difference that's going to be. But, you know, he has made these very public efforts to try to patch up, you know, the problems of the city. You know, did it stem the bloodshed? Absolutely not. You know, we had a worse year this year than last year.
Yeah.
But comeback? Sure. I mean, he was down last year.
A generously worded comeback.
Yeah.
We'll say we're being generous, but we'll go ahead and give him comeback for the year. And we found out that he sometimes sends it to Bruce Rauner, "Hey, I love you, man." So
right. And we got to look at 3,000 of his emails. or you know,
we're still looking.
Most of them were emails sent to him, and so his silence was very loud on some of the requests that people were asking him, and that was it was very interesting to read those.
You can read all the best local neighborhood news from Chicago at dnainfo.com. Seamus Toomey is the managing editor. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks, Matt.